Welcome to the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is the third and final installment of our three-part mega episode. If you missed parts one and two and are fans of Game of Thrones and Cabin in the Woods, pause this, download the previous two episodes, and start there. My guests this time are Eric, Will, Daryl, and Carl, and today we discuss The Avengers.
Party line. All right, dudes, y'all ready for Avengers?
Bring it,
bro! I got on my Thor pants. Do it.
What now? Okay. And now we have brought in the magnificent Carl, added him to the conversation, and we will talk about Avengers.
I was locked in the green room. That's all I'm gonna say.
Whatever, dude. And back we have Daryl, Eric, and Will, added with Carl and me, Kat, and Avengers Assemble. Woo! So how pumped up were you about this film? You know, anybody, take it.
I was so excited about this film. Oh, man, since they mentioned Avengers, the whole thing when they were talking about it on Iron Man and the Bat, and when they got to the extras and they started talking about what they wanted to do with Avengers, and that's before they even knew for sure if they were gonna be able to do it. And I was just been drooling to see this movie. I'm drooling, I tell you.
So did it satisfy you?
Oh, and then some.
Really?
Yes, I have no complaints about this movie.
See, I came at it from a totally different angle. Uh-oh. I mean, if we go back, if we rewind the tape. Because I was not ever looking forward to it or excited about it.
Why?
Well, because I mean, real quick, while I like Iron Man and this, that, and you know, those other movies that built up, that led to this, I just had a feeling like I was really apprehensive, thinking like this may not work. Like, you know, initially I didn't like Iron Man 2 very much.
Yeah.
Me either.
Yeah. And I thought that this had all the potential in the world to go that kind of route, or like a Transformers 3 kind of route, or just when you have so much stuff, it could just be one of those things where it's just like crazy mad explosions and just, you know, just like, you know, just crap happening all over the place. And
I'm totally with you on that, because I mean, if you look at the history of the action films that they've created, you had, you know, your Iron Mans, mm-hmm. they were excellent. You had your Thors, you know, or your Thor, which I thoroughly enjoy. But then there have been the Hulks. And then there was Captain America. And you know,
hold
we don't
on,
get into that. We do not have to get into that again. We've already covered that, all right? I know some of you love it. But the point is, but my personal preference is, it was hit or miss. It was 50-50. You know, when you look at that, I was like, oh, geez, what are we going to get? And so to see what they were able to produce, I was very, very, but I went in totally. I was like, I had my arms crossed. I had that, you know, my lip all crooked. I was like, let's see what you're going to do. Let's see what you're going to do.
Yeah, see, the only time my opinion started changing a little bit, you know, back last fall when I found out that Joss Whedon was, you know, helming this thing. I didn't know that until like 6 months ago.
That was a glimmer? Okay.
Yeah, that was a glimmer. And then it wasn't until like a month ago when I got back onto this whole comic thing. And so for the last month, yeah, I've been anticipating it like crazy.
Well, wait a second. Carl, how is Joss Whedon involved in this? Not a glimmer for you?
No, I said that was a glimmer.
Oh, okay. I'm just checking you out, sir.
Yeah.
Eric, continue, because... please. My apologies.
No, that's it. Yeah, so yeah, then that's how we got here. And I have actually been anticipating for like the last month, probably since I saw...
Month?
Yeah, well, yeah, because I said I it wasn't a big deal to me except until about a month ago, until I think after I saw Cabin in the Woods or Hunger Games, and I was just like, well, give me the next thing. Like, let's get it on, 2012. Like, I'm serious. Like, those two movies kind of got me already excited for this year. And so I was like, just give me the next thing. And then right now I feel like, give me the next thing. Like, give me Spider-Man. And, you know, like, this thing's rolling. It's like a bar crawl. It's the movie Crawl 2012. And it's telling you.
But see, I'm very frightened now because to start with this film and then the things that we're going to get for the remainder of the summer, I'm scared. I know, but I'm scared because you see, I'm looking forward to Prometheus.
It's gonna hit. Prometheus is gonna hit. Batman's gonna hit.
Batman, I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried about Batman. Yeah.
Why would you be worried?
Not worried.
Oh, I'm not worried about Batman. I'm
worried about Catwoman.
Well, that's true too.
Okay, you know,
and while I love to speculate on all these other movies, I'm sure some actors are like
Avengers symbol.
Okay, yes, Toastus. Yes, I'm sorry.
See, he's gonna rein us in because we all have our own agendas and our own personalities.
There's agendas here. Okay, let's have the Avengers agenda. Okay, so I like this movie. I thought I was scared too because I thought it was going to be a little too much. I thought they were just going to be throwing a superhero schlong at us left and right, and I just
And wow. Did you just say superhero dick?
That's not what I said.
I think you said superhero dick.
Dudes hit my face.
I don't know what Nightwing has like, any. Okay, I don't know anything to do with
it. Zip it.
All of these dudes hitting her face, she just said.
What?
Jesus
Christ. Start over.
Okay. Oh, God.
Are they pumping pheromones over there?
I think let's
split up.
Well, she's on a college campus. It's attached to the cabin for woods people.
After this semester, so expect anything to come out of my mouth. I just thought that, you know, like Eric, like you said, it was just going to be way too much. I didn't think everybody was going to have chemistry together. I just was very afraid. And then I saw some of the first trailers and the teasers and stuff, and I got really excited. I think my favorite, of course, has to be Hulk. Because he just, the past two Hulk movies, I didn't even bother seeing them. I don't know what they are. Because they look like they suck. Everybody said they sucked, and I was just like, I don't want to see that.
Well, see, I'm one of the people who likes both of them.
I haven't seen them.
They're very extremely different from each other.
They are very different.
But I like both of them on their own merits.
I did not like them both on their own merits.
Charles' recommendation and not saw them, because we kind of sometimes have the same brain on stuff, but...
Mm-hmm.
That's why I didn't see him.
And see, that was the other concern about Avengers. When you look at the movies, they either hit big or they really miss. And especially when I saw the Hulk was coming back, I was like, oh no, how are they going to do it? Because he's going to be a completely different person now. I mean, literally another character. Like, okay, how are they going to pull this off? And of course, with Captain America being at the helm, seeing as as I was such a big fan of the previous film, I was like, oh, geez, what are they going to do? But the challenge was, how are you going to get these personalities and their superhero powers to merge well in a way that was interesting to watch? That was the concern ahead of time. And I went, before I saw Avengers, I was very skeptical that they were going to be able to pull that off well. And what they delivered was very impressive.
Yes.
Well, we almost got garbage. We almost did.
How was that?
Because originally Joss Whedon, they were throwing around a script that they had done, and they had asked Whedon to look at it and give them some suggestions. And he looked at it. He gave them, he put his little things in there, suggestions, what he would do if he were going to do the movie. Gave it back to him, and then they liked it so much that they asked him to direct this movie, which is a big deal because Whedon is not really, he hasn't done that many movies in terms of directing.
Firefly?
Two. No, he's Firefly and this movie, I think, are all he's actually directed. He's written four, if I'm not mistaken. Five, actually, with Cabin in the Woods. I believe five screenplays.
But I'm talking about the rest of TV. He's written a ton of stuff.
Yeah,
he's
also, to take this movie, like, this is Marvel. I mean, Disney bought
Marvel. No, I agree with that.
This is their, if this had messed up, if this had flopped.
If this had went John Carter.
Oh, yeah.
This would have totally made it. This would have totally took a step back to everything that Marvel has been doing, you know, with Disney for the last, 6 years now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was serious for them to have to put it in somebody's hands who have never
this is the first
had a blockbuster.
Even though it has a Paramount logo at the opening of this film. This is actually a Marvel film. They actually bought the rights and paid. It's a big deal, but they paid money to Paramount. So basically, they were bought off. Said, okay, you go away, and we'll give you this money. It's fine, but we're going to take this. And it's the first Disney approach to this, which I'm still, you know, with John Carter and some marketing big mistakes, I think, recently, I'm still not, you know, very enthusiastic about Disney taking over things. You know, I think Pixar keeps it in the ballpark because they're Pixar, not because they're part of Disney.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But my whole take on it was, it's we're doing an Avengers movie. Yeah, okay. Say Sam Jackson shows up in the Avengers into the Iron Man. Hey, great, the Avengers Initiative. Okay, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, okay, we're not doing the Avengers now. Okay, well, I guess not. What's going on? And then the movie's coming out. Great. Yeah, it's not going to be that good because it's got too many. Who's doing it? Mm-hmm. Who's doing it?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I sat back and I said, this will be a good movie, and I'll wait till it comes out.
Yeah,
and that's it. And I had the other thing I have to say is before the movie came out, I was watching they released all the little cut scenes. Like, oh, look at these scenes, and I'm looking at the scenes, and I'm like, going, yeah, okay, this superheroes fighting, yeah, great, whatever, and then all that stuff, and then they had all of the characters interacting with each other, and I'm like, oh, this is amazing. This is shockingly good. And it's just, he got just amazing performances out of people who have amazing characters. I mean, Robert Downey, his whole thing about freaking out that one of the characters had died, he was like, dude, and Ken America goes, you've never lost anyone, have you? I'm like,
are we doing spoilers stuff, by the way.
Can we? What do you mean? Yeah, we
got to do some spoilers.
I announced that at the beginning.
I believe, but I just don't remember the guy's name.
Coulson,
thank you.
Oh, Coulson. Let's have a moment of silence for Agent Coulson, because that's the only thing that pisses me off about Joss Whedon is he gets in there, he kills Wash, he kills Buffy's mom, he kills Agent Coulson, and he just, you know, make those little characters right.
Kat, I would say before we get all sad about Coulson dying, I will say life model decoy.
Life what now?
Life model decoy. S.H.I.E.L.D. has this tradition where Nick Fury has died like 600 times.
Yeah.
He'll use it's a life model decoy, which actually is a cybernetic copy of you.
Bio-cybernetic.
Yeah, copy of you. And they use it to, you know, trick villains or whatever.
I think Iron Man even like jokingly he
said you have reached the life model decoy of Tony Stark. Yes.
There are hints by production people in this movie that we might not be seeing the
last of him. Big spoiler. I don't think he's done. I don't think Coulson's done. Like I didn't buy it for a second even as I was watching it the first time.
Because Fury, and this is what you get when you have someone who actually is involved in comics that also knows how to do movies at the same time.
Right.
He understands all this history. You use it. You can use this stuff. And Fury is a liar. Like, Nick Fury, that's what he does. He uses anything that he can. He manipulates. He does it for the greater good, but he needed something to get this team
To
work together. He knew that. This is like the entire movie. He kept saying
that's what that comment was.
That's what they needed, the push. And and Coulson said it too.
Yeah, that's what Coulson said just before he or his model died.
Right.
But it was the card, because I was kind of on the fence about trying to figure out what was going on as well as what the history of Fury was. I haven't read the comic book, so I didn't. But it was with the cards. When what's her name? The Hill, I think,
Maria
was her name.
Hill.
Yeah, when Hill comes up to him and she's going, well, you know, those cards weren't even in, you know, they were in his locker.
Okay, 9-inch code, yeah.
And he's going, yeah, well, I mean, that was clear because it was so critical to getting the team together. It was such a powerful moment. and that he was just like, well, look, I had to get the guys together for something. You know, that was
cold.
See, I got all of that and it was input, but I didn't analyze it as, well, you know what? The reason why I waited till the end of the movie, because I thought that he was going to be in some lab and they were putting him back together and something like that, but they didn't. So I didn't process any further that he could be, you know, the life model decoy.
Super Coulson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I love that guy. You know, I was not convinced with Tom Hiddleston as Loki. I did not, because his hair pissed me off. He had like these flip curls, like he was a soccer mom or something. And I was
It was the hat that bothered me.
I just gonna say, and you like the hat?
No, the hat was ridiculous. It was too big for him. It was like he's 80 pounds and the hat's 250
But that's
pounds.
His hat. Like, that's Loki's original
that's
helmet. Like, that, and he used that, and plus, he went to that, he's working with Thanos.
So that was Thanos. Is that with the Infinity Gauntlet?
It's, yeah, those pieces are all being set.
That's my first comic book I ever read. Oh, sorry.
I'm so proud.
Hold it. That was a Marvel comic, not a DC comic?
Marvel.
It's so mixed up now.
Yeah, that was a Marvel. Yeah.
George Perez.
He's hanging out with Lady Death. Right. Are we going to see Lady Death?
That might have been the
practice. Yes, I bet you that they'll put that in there.
Awesome.
I can't see them not having, you know, even if it's just an image of Lady Death. I can't see.
Well, the thing I was wondering about that, I mean, since we jumped to the
yeah, we're all over the place. Forgive me.
We jumped to the first after credit sequence or whatever. I was thinking, like, I wasn't sure if that was teasing Avengers 2 or teasing Thor 2, because I'm not sure about that. I'm not convinced about that.
Maybe
as far
it's
as which
Nick Fury,
I would
which
think
is
with Thanos,
on IMDb.
I would think with Thanos, that's for Avengers. Like, that's a big threat. Like, instead of, like, no. This is the
oh, contrast. There's no doubt.
This is the contrast to the mistakes they made, Warner Brothers made with Green Lantern, with using Parallax to this. Like, you don't use Thanos right away for the first story.
No, there's no question about that. I mean, he is...
Wait, so does Green Lantern belong in the Avengers?
No.
I'm just saying that's the mistake.
It's very confusing at some point.
That you can make is if you use a major, major threat and you push it all on that one threat and it's like, what are you going to do for the next, you know, few movies? So this was... And to use Loki to pretty much bring them together, it also has... That's how the Avengers in the comics got together, because of Loki. So that they threw that in there for tradition, and then you had
he was
the best way to bring Thor back into the movie at the same time. And then, you know, because they put three different things together. They put Loki in it, and then they put the Sitaris from the Ultimates version of the Avengers. So they're an alien race that's not even in the main Marvel universe. And then they combine that with Annihilus, who was the person that was in the, you know, covered up talking to Loki.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The spokesman, he's Annihilus, which is basically a guy that from a different universe from ours, who comes from the negative zone, and he pretty much
dear.
Conquers. So that to put that together and then have Thanos pulling the strings of everybody, I mean, it just worked.
Oh, so that makes sense to you.
Yeah, it makes total sense to me.
And it matches up, and nobody's going to be bitching about how this was in the alternate. People
are going to bitch about
everything's,
it.
Everything always has its like unique slant on it when it's like adapted.
Mm-hmm. And Whedon does the little things. Like, that's what works with Whedon. Whedon, not only, it's not just Avengers smashing buildings and everything, but to have the little things like Black Widow being, you know, when you see the Hulk, you shouldn't just get up and walk away and go, oh, I just fought the Hulk. It's no big deal. You should be scared for your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and to have those scenes where she's almost in tears.
Yeah, that was good.
Even though you built it up that she just fought, like, she was tied up in a chair and just fought, like, five guys and didn't break a sweat.
That was so beautiful.
And to have that, you know, so to constantly have it that she was petrified of the Hulk, because you should be that scared of the Hulk.
So I have a question about the Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
Why was he like crazy man Hulk that couldn't be controlled at the first part of the movie, and then the second part of the movie he was like taking orders and cooperating and being
Didn't
all?
You notice Loki was using his magic
right.
to intensify everybody's
emotions.
Okay, no, that explains it then. Thank
yeah.
you. And because you remember, I was just like, why is he cooperating now when he was all mean and whole?
There was even that small scene where Bruce Banner is in the lab and they're walking Loki in, and he looks at Loki for a second, and all of a sudden he feels his head and his eyes, like he felt confused for a minute. Did you? It's a subtle thing.
Oh yeah, oh, yeah. No, I saw that. I saw.
Well, I noticed he picked up Loki's staff.
Later, that was later. Yeah. It was when Loki first came into the big, battle station or whatever you want to call it, and he's walking him down the hall. They exchange this look, and at first, it's like Loki's looking at Banner like he knows who he is the first thing, and then as he passes, Banner kind of like puts his head down like he's getting a headache, or it was like he's thinking or he's got a headache or something's going on.
Oh, I must have missed that.
So yeah, he was
tripping. There was a ton of subtle stuff in the movie like that moment, and I don't know, I didn't make a list, but there was a lot of like one, and then sometimes because I have been known to see things in movies that aren't there, so don't quote me on this, but speaking of Hulk, like there was a part where he's speaking to Stark through the clear computer panel, whatever you want to call it.
Banner?
Yeah, Banner and Stark were going back.
Yeah, and they're talking directly to each other through the
computer
screen.
And I swear, like, when they show it from over Stark's shoulder and you'd see Robert Downey Jr.'s reflection on the glass, and then when they did it from Banner's point of view, his reflection was like the Hulk. It was like the Hulk version of himself in the reflection.
I definitely saw that.
Yeah.
And that's a callback, because they've used that so brilliantly in the comics to just, he looks into a mirror or he looks into a pool and there's the Hulk.
Yeah, but it's very subtly done in the movie, so where you're not 100% sure. And there's just tons of little like eye candy like that throughout the movie.
You have to go at that level that he's not something that maybe half the people would pick up if you're lucky. Maybe 25% of the people saw that and went, ooh, he's the Hulk. But it's a guy who knows the subtleties, knows the grossness, knows when he can hit, when he doesn't. Pull back when he needs to, push hard when he can get the maximum benefit of it. The whole thing about the Hulk saying, the thing about being angry is I'm always angry. And then he hulks out.
Or that's his big secret.
Yeah.
And that was well done.
Always angry. Yeah.
Because they kept hinting or like teasing his secret throughout the entire movie.
Yeah. I like, well, so it was the effect, the Hulk effect, when it originally came out in the comics, it was every night he became the Hulk. It was like a werewolf. Then it was when he was enraged, he became the Hulk. Now, it's been evolving. Now he has control of it, unless he's really pissed or he needs it. Yeah, but you call it when he needs it.
Yeah, it's the opposite. He's angry all the time. So, right. But if he just lets go,
exactly.
It's unleashing that monster, and that's the subtle thing that Whedon did to pretty much, like, you really want to say, I wish you had did. You were the director or the producer of The Incredible Hulk, because they were trying to say that in the movie, but they didn't.
Right.
Let me just launch off here, because I am still awed at how well Whedon and Penn, the story, other story writer, how well they pulled stuff off in this movie, just totally. I mean, if you think about it, you break out each character one at a time, the way that they were reintroduced in this film, with the exception of Captain America, but I don't get to that right in a second. But all of the other, when I'd seen them, we'd seen all the films before leading up to this, right? So we knew who everybody was. But each character got their own unique little introduction in this film
that was respectful to their history, that was new to the experience of the movie Avengers, that gave you a little glimmer into their personalities. I mean, just think of how each one of the characters was unveiled. Think about Black Widow, how we got to know her at the beginning of the episode. Think about Iron Man, his cutting up at the beginning. The Hulk, it was actually my favorite, because I have not really liked the Hulk in the past incarnations. I like the concept, I like the comic book, and I keep going, how are they doing so poorly with these movies? So to see him and how he comes out, you know, in this film, it just, like I said, the scene with he and Black Widow going back and forth, and you know, and the SWAT team outside, you know, just in case things got a little crazy, you know, just standing by, just how each one of these characters was so gently and intelligently unveiled to us, that told us who they were, what their history was, it wasn't heavy-handed, it wasn't hammy, it wasn't all cool. Now, so my beef, once again, my only beef is, when you look at how they did Captain America, though, now, seriously, they took all that time, all that attention with everybody else, how did they do Captain America?
Punch him
back. Montage. Yes, exactly. Montage. Black, and they were the exact clips from the movie. The exact clips from the movie. So I was like, come on. Yes.
Can I ask
you
a question?
Certainly.
Have you've read comic books?
I have, but I was mostly a DC guy. I was mostly a DC guy.
I was mostly a DC guy.
So, but no, I'm just saying, I don't know why you're asking me this, because I'm saying
I
don't know.
I was going to say, you've never seen the bottom of a page that is, you know, it's Captain America and the right side of the page, and then the left side of the page, they run through clips, quote unquote, or just draw bits of his history as his background.
I'm saying Carl
has a special history with Captain America because he's watched the movies from the 70s.
I'm not sensitive about that. I haven't been traumatized. And for you to bring that up,
I just want to say one thing about the Cap parts.
Yes.
I think Whedon, because I kind of get that Whedon is showing you, like, this is a guy suffering from post-traumatic stress, like, wartime. Like, this dude has fought. It's like, all he's done. He's fought. Yeah. He's living in that same past. That's all he has. Everyone else had something going on. They're connected to somebody. Steve is connected to no one.
I agree.
There's no one alive for him. So all he has is that past.
I'll give you that. That's a good point. That's a good point. Because, you know, I thought when you give the history of him and everybody and what they were up to, you're right. He's been in the boxing room, you know, just punching a bag, locked in a corner all of this time. So not much else has been going on with him. And maybe that's part of the story that I missed on that.
I thought it was pretty cool, Carl. I mean, because I think I felt the same way as you about Captain America from his film last year. Because I felt like everybody else around me loved the movie, and I was just like, eh. But in Avengers, it completely turned him around for me.
Okay, so that was the other thing that I wanted to mention. So I did enjoy how each of the characters, independent of their past movies, you know, we got to see it. How that came out where you didn't have to see the other ones in order to, you know, in order to get an appreciation for it. But the best part is characters that I was lukewarm about, that I was just so, you know, not particularly interested in, they came alive in Avengers. Every single character had an added depth to them, a realism to them. There was something really interesting. I mean, like I said, even the least interesting characters, folks I thought were going to be least interesting in this movie, had blown up and were fleshed out and had all this richness to them. And I really wanted to hear, what does he got to say? What does he mean by that? Everybody in the story was like that. So that's genius. I mean, that is just, I think the real tribute to both, you know, Penn and Whedon putting this story together is every superhero movie that I have seen before, the way that's written and the way that it's acted, acts like we've never seen any other superhero before. Like, no, it's like they tell same story, the exact same ways, and, you know, part of the
We have to tell the origin.
And it's just like, you know, the woman's in peril, and it's just the stress, and the person they care about's in danger. It's like everything that we have seen before, you're just so tired of, and I know I'm going to steal this one because I know we all want to talk about this, but okay, this is, of course, the crowning achievement in the Avengers. When the bad guy begins to start his monologue. Oh. And he starts to say, "Oh, you humans, you will kneel before me." In every other superhero movie, what have we seen? The hero sits there, lets him finish the tirade. He maybe challenges him to a verbal duel. Would you try that with the Hulk? Is that a good idea to begin a debate with the Incredible Hulk? How do you think that's going to work out for you? And, you know, any other film, any other time, if he'd stop. First of all, I was shocked that he stopped when he said, "I have had enough." And the Hulk backs up. You know, he's looking at Loki like, "What the? You all, I will not stand for these." And you couldn't. There wasn't even time for him to finish the rest of the rant. He just snatched him up and just slammed him around. It was awesome.
What did he say at the end? He said,
"Puny God."
Okay. Yes.
I had people, too many babies in the theater for
look,
me to hear.
I saw it twice, and people were laughing so hard. Oh, I missed it both times. I'm glad you told me.
The audience was so amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was just so
Can I get on Fat Favreau? Because I swear to God, I think that he got lucky with Iron Man 1. Because I just don't think he can handle any type of action movie. With Iron Man 2 was such a disappointment.
And Cowboys and Aliens.
I couldn't stand that movie. And the Black Widow was the character that I just did not care about because they didn't do anything with her in Iron Man 2 except, oh, she's supposed to be hot. Like, that's all they did. But they didn't give you anything with that character. Exactly. And in Joss Whedon's hands.
Yep.
She was my favorite. Like, out of all of those characters in this movie, she was my favorite character.
Yeah, he does brilliant women. That's he writes women brilliantly. It's his skill, his ultimate skill in being able to. I mean, and you don't have. I mean, Robert Downey Jr., Chris Hemsworth, all these big stars, not characters, but big stars. Are in this movie, and they have to be kind of, you know, Sam Jackson, they have to be kind of, I don't want to use the word manipulated, but kind of, they have to be placed carefully, and you have to, you know, don't worry, you'll get your close-ups, you'll get you'll get a piece for you, and a lot of the time, that's just bullshit, that's just, we'll get to you, but in this movie, the structure of the movie is made of those moments. Like I say, he can do the big stuff. He can do the splash page is what I call it. But it's the where they're fighting, where all the people are fighting in New York, and it's right. One hero to the next hero to the next hero to the next hero, and it's just it brilliant. But that's a splash page. That's a two page, all the people in all different panels. To look like that. It's like a comic book, you know?
And no corniness, I swear.
That's amazing.
I was looking for the Spider-Man 1. You mess with one of us, you mess with all of us kind of garbage. That they love to do for New York. You don't have to do that. Just
I love the idea of Robert Downey, of Iron Man, Tony Stark going, "We may not save the Earth, but we will avenge it."
I'm that's like, as corny as it gets.
Oh, that's just that's as corny as it gets. But that's awesome. Perfect. It's like, oh yeah, here you go, boom, one in the gut.
And it wasn't even about that monologue. All it was okay. I need the armor done, so I have to stall this idiot
to get the armor. For me to get it done. I love that.
And that's the little thing that you get. Like even in Helicarrier, when he came on board. He was a jerk. He was an asshole the entire time he was there. But he wasn't like that just to be like that. I have to get these guys in this room mad enough that they won't realize that I'm putting a device on their computer to get to what really, is going on with S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, all those little things you do not get.
You're totally highlighting a lot of the depth in this film. That the characters weren't just saying funny lines. I love that you just brought that part up, how he's making all those jokes about the screens and walking over there and covering his eye, but it's all just subterfuge for him to put that little bug there on the computer. I love how the characters are thinking on multiple levels in this movie, which is definitely something you don't get.
And Tony is just at Nick. Nick is his father. Like, Nick Fury is like his father, because you kind of get that if you watch all the other movies, because his father was the same way with him. He kept a lot of secrets from him. So he kind of puts all that on Nick Fury. Yeah. And that's why he's so distrustful of him. And you wouldn't really, you don't have to know that, but you wouldn't really get that if you didn't see the previous movie. So it's enhanced by watching all of them.
Yeah, it's really interesting how many like strands there are in this movie. I mean, like the whole thing with Black Widow, like trying to get her ledger out of the red, and Captain America running off and finding the Hydra weapons. Like, everybody's got all their different agendas.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
things.
It's
beautiful. Forgot about that.
That's how
I
Loki
really
got him. That's how Loki got him. Suspicion. Like, Nick Steve is usually not a suspicious person of authority. But that was the seed that Loki planted, was suspicion, to make him do that.
Yeah. Well, I don't get the impression that he's going back. You know what I mean?
Who's going back where?
Steve's going back to being totally trustful of this new world.
No.
You know, No. You have to figure he thinks, you know, everyone's an alien. I mean, you know, when he was frozen, you know, the highest in technology was a tubed radio. Mm-hmm. And now we're walking around with computers in our pockets. So it's a little much a strange new world for him.
He'll be all right.
Yeah, but his second movie
gets the monkeys. Yeah. He gets the monkeys.
Yeah, but Tony, that's why I like how the confrontation between Tony and Cap.
Oh man, that was so beautiful.
Is that Tony? You know, Cap is the trustworthy guy that, you know, respects authority, but he also knows you have to sacrifice. There are times when you do have to push yourself to the point. Tony never gets that. Like, so Cap doesn't care about your money. He doesn't care about how much you know, your inventions, your money. It doesn't mean anything to him, all the shiny stuff that he does. So they kind of push each other to the point where Cap kind of learned to just be more aggressive and then take charge and go on that mission without him. Like, Nick Fury needed Cap to be on his own, you know, to lead the team on his own without, you know, just looking for him to tell him what to do. And Tony needed to kind of fall in and be more of a teammate than he's ever been before. And Cap was the one to teach him how to do that.
And they both did it brilliantly. I mean, I love when Captain America started ordering around the cops and he was like, looked at looked at his costumes, like, why are we going to listen to you? And then he slays some aliens in, you know, brilliant form. And then he's like, okay, we need to establish a perimeter, get the blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And one other thing that I did not expect is when, Thor hit Captain America's shield. I didn't expect that. I didn't know that they had enhanced the shield so much at the beginning.
You don't play with vibranium.
I didn't know what that meant, and wow, it was just such a big...
Well, you got to see a lot of that's one of the paper, rock, scissors moments of the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's similar to like when Hulk was trying to pick up Thor's hammer.
Yeah,
there's all this weird... Yeah.
Beautiful. You know, another thing. So the two big things I wanted. First was the writing was dead on. Second, now we've seen action films, and that's a great thing. We enjoy action. But you realize, and most especially the guys, you know, the guys have a true appreciation for this. Some ladies do too. But there is a dance, a storytelling, and an art to having battle and fight scenes in movies. Okay.
Yeah,
right.
Now,
yeah.
It is not enough just to have people fighting. It's not enough just to have explosions. It's not enough to render it right and make it look pretty. You really do. You tell things about the characters when you watch them fight. You advance the story, not because a fight is going on, but because of what's at stake and how the people are fighting and how it's going on. If you look, I don't even want to go into it, but... You know, Transformers, the explosions were great. The battles were great. You couldn't even tell who the good guy was and who the bad guy was. And it was just this blur and explosions. But see, when you're watching, you know, the Avengers, you know exactly who's hitting who, who's getting hit, why they're doing that. And the style at which each of the characters fought. Now, think about it. The very first time we see it is when Hawkeye and... what's Scarlet's name
Black
again?
Widow.
Yeah, and Black Widow are flying in. They drop Captain America off, and Captain America and Loki are having the disagreement out by the art gallery, right? And she's looking. The first thing she says is, he's all over the place. She's dissing Captain America's fighting style. All right, because, well, he's just about getting stuff done. He's not a ninja. You know, he doesn't have, he's just hitting them with things. He doesn't have a lot of grace. He's, but you see, that's Captain America, the way he fights like that. That's just his style. He gets stuff done. It ain't pretty. He handle business. Look at the way Hulk fights, okay? You can see the rage. Hulk has got a manic mastery of destruction. It's just, I mean, just the way he tears up stuff. It's not, there's no grace to it. It's all force. And it's all just how he slams things around. How he just breaks stuff for no reason. You know, oh, I'm going to use the side of a building as a skateboard. You know, just all kinds of, you know, it's, so the pacing and how that fighting was consistent.
No waste
the
space.
Characters. No waste. I mean, it was just beautiful to see it implemented this way in this movie. And I just, after the movie, I went home and I watched some other shows. I watched some other action films. And I was trying to figure out, you know, what it was. How did they get it so right in the Avengers? And how was it so different from the things that
I
seen
I thought
before?
You were going to bring up the parts in Midtown, New York. They did it once, maybe twice, where they did a, like, Captain America's kicking someone down the street and someone gets thrown in the air and gets hit by a glider, where Thor is kicking somebody's butt as he, like, throws him in the air, and then Hulk grabs him and then, like, jumps to, like, Hawkeye on the roof.
Yeah, oh, the camera shot. All that was, the camera.
Splash
pad. And they made a plan and they actually executed
it, yes.
Like, when everything in the beginning of that, you know, fight scene, when Cap told all of them, this is what I want you to do, they stuck to that plan throughout the movie instead of other directors who forget their own story, their own plot. Like, they say to do it, and then for no reason, someone's trapped in wires for 2 hours.
Oh, stop it.
We're trying not to go
that's
back
painful.
To that.
I'm just
saying.
That's painful.
It's the most recent example of something that had a similar budget,
exactly.
Similar effects, and then you're watching it, and the action sequences, as big and as explosive as they were, left you totally cold because they didn't tell the story. They didn't lead you into anything about the characters. You know, the pacing was a little, you know, kind of rushed. It was art, really, watching the fights in Avengers. And it's really hard to describe. You see it done right here, and then you go back and watch some other films, and then you see how bad it's been all along, you know, how just what's been wrong all along. So it was beautiful.
And even with the Hulk, when he's going crazy and smashing out and stuff, there's still a direction in where he's doing. Like, even when he, to climb up that building, to come through that door, to run through there because he knew he could get to that other
flying the hell flying. Whale, whatever those things were.
Yeah, well, I have to say, I was hell pissed whale. About those people who were just sitting there staring out the windows, gawking when they should have been.
Well, look, they were accountants. They had their spreadsheets to finish. Accounts receivables is also important. You know, it's yes, I know there's an armored flying whale downtown, but we really need to make these numbers work tonight. Have a seat.
Oh, dear. Oh, man. So this budget was $220 million, and I think gross U.S., I'm not sure, as of May 5th, is $385 million.
Yeah, that's before Thursday. It'll probably be double that by the weekend.
Completely is $702 million.
Because it
702 for was that worldwide?
Yeah, it's worldwide.
No, they expect,
I was talking you. It's gross.
When it gets into 12 days, total gross is going to be something around $700 million.
$1 billion.
it's like really a Saturday. Did you see the numbers for Saturday?
Yeah,
it was 67.6. No, just Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Just Saturday. $67.9 million.
Well, I believe it. I was in that line.
Me
so.
Too.
So hear this. Most movies with a reasonable budget, and that would be a good gross for the entire movie.
You got it. I know it. You're
on
right.
Saturday.
Carter should have made that.
Well, look, what I don't understand seriously is, you know, you see a film like this and you go, what have people been doing all along?
I know.
I mean, if seriously, if I had just seen half of this movie implemented someplace else. I mean, you know, in terms of the half the quality, half the acting, half of the company, that would have been epic, really. Just, you know, half of this would have been great. Right. I go back and I start thinking about the stuff because, I mean, remember, we've been doing the Party Line a while here. And, and you know, the rants that we have had in the past about, oh, the god-awful action sequence, that was so inconsistent. I mean, the basic things that we rant about, where everything was just smooth.
This movie,
seamless.
When this movie comes out on DVD, oh, by the way, it's going to have an extra half an hour in it.
What?
Oh, that's what they say. Really, that's what they say.
Movie. Oh. It's really 3 hours and
20. 3 hours, 20
what
minute
else
movie.
Can they put in it, and will it dilute it or make
no,
it better?
It'll be bits that will make it better. But anyways,
I mean, I hope so.
When this DVD comes out,
well,
we're
then why
have
were they on the cutting floor? Why were they on the cutting floor and not in the movie?
Well, it was 3 hours. The 3 hours.
No,
we sat in 3 hour movies.
Yeah, because you can play a 2 hour movie more times in a day than a 3 hour movie.
That's
right,
why.
Okay,
it's a
we're talking about
thing.
My.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's literally it's because of the amount of times you can show it. Literally,
it's good.
I get it. I get it.
2 hours and 20 is actually a pretty much of a stretch. To be honest,
you know what's stupid though? If you're a small theater. If you say to them, I will play your three-hour cut mm-hmm. in my theater. If you only have like 2-3 screens, you can make doing that?
Not as much as you can do playing the 2-hour version. You can make more money.
Yeah, but if you're fighting against a multiplex, like those small.
If you're fighting against a multi, I'm sorry, but if you're fighting against a multiplex,
okay,
you
want to
play
about
the most amount
of movie theater.
It's. I'm sorry. It's the cold hard facts. It's cash. That's all, and that's the only thing that counts. I'm sorry, but that's the truth.
But
true, having said true. That,
thank you, Will.
So what we have to do is get a bunch of these discs, these Blu-rays. And send them
you sound
to
like you're from
everyone in
Let's
Hollywood.
Oh,
everyone
sorry.
In Hollywood, you have to send it to them with a little note that says, like this.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, first, you know, I have to say for Marvel, the first thing they do with all these movies is, this movie was only $220 million. Mm-hmm. That was the budget.
Which is pretty, I mean, if you look at the size of it, it's really reasonable.
Yeah.
Shoot, I mean, just look at the stars they had to pay. Forget the effects. Forget everything else. Just, I mean, that it was a blockbuster set of celebrities they had in this film.
I think that's why they didn't include Natalie Portman, because that would have added on.
Oh, please. She'd have wasted more time and charged them another $100 million to be in the movie.
Mm-hmm. She showed her picture. I wonder if she
charged. I got to say, though, I really loved Pepper Potts. I really thought that her character was amazing. And she's only in, like, 3 scenes really quick.
Right.
You mm-hmm. notice how she was barefoot so she wouldn't be taller than Tony Stark's. And he had
It's a myth, but I swear two writers is on this movie. Like all the other ones that have failed, like Green
27, 65.
Was painful.
Two writers are on this.
Look, it's not the number of writers, clearly. It's just, but, you know, they know how to tell a good story.
No, the things that Carl was saying earlier about this movie and the way it was done from a writer's point of view, because I was going to say, after I saw this movie, I proclaimed on Twitter that I think my three favorite popcorn fun summer flicks of the last 5 years are Avengers, Star Trek, and the first Transformers movie. And I think Whedon and Penn are a lot like Orky and Kurtzman. They have like a lot of similarities in how they write. Because all the things that you were saying earlier in praise of this movie about how each character had like their time to shine, and you know,
right.
How I felt about the Star Trek movie when it came out. There was tons of things about the Star Trek movie that made it so accessible, and things that were like, yeah, why weren't we doing it like this the whole time? Like with every Star Trek movie coming before that, you know, they make it look so
example.
Simple. Like, you know, why couldn't it just be like that? Yeah, and
it's J.J.
Abrams. Orky and Kurtzman, I think they're similar to Whedon in that. And Abrams, I guess he's part of this crowd, and Lindelof. Like, they all grew up big into comics, big into the genre. They all get, like, references and how to use them without hammering people on the head with them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a artful balancing act, but these guys are the best at it, you know?
Well,
apparently.
I'm sorry. I know for a fact that, well, of course, we all know that the Jess has written for Marvel before, but I don't know if, I guess Orci
No, I don't. I think they have.
But it's the sense that when original Batman came out in the original Superman came out, it was like, oh, we have to take this property away from you and do a movie treatment on it because it's really important to be movie-ish and movie-like, you know. So, but we do the movies. You do. You write that other stuff. And nowadays, it's like sequential writing is sequential writing. It doesn't matter if it's a comic book, a TV show, or a big budget, movie. And it's also it tends to be a lot better if you do comics well, if you do television well, you're going to do the movies well.
Well, I don't know. You got to be careful because I really think it boils down to the people who are involved with it. Yeah. There's always that sort of big money motivation by Hollywood in the honchos. But if you don't put the right people on it, everything falls apart. Like, I watched some news programs over the weekend. Everybody's talking about how well the movie has done. And they're trying to identify, what made this movie such a success, a box office success? Like I said, it's people and of course, the writing and the depth, I believe. I really believe that's what did it for this film. But this is what they're taking away. They're saying stuff like, what had happened is because there were so many previous superhero films that this built up to a crescendo-like arc, and that's why the movie was big, because there were, lead-in movies to it. And they're looking at the economics going, if we just create another sequence of lead-ins, then it'll arc in a great film. That's so backwards. That's absolutely not right. You can put the worst kind of people in a project like that. I'm shocked that that's the first place that they went, though. When they look at a movie like this and they go, why was it so successful? That they go, because they had so many multi-million-dollar films leading up to it. That's why it was successful. That's ridiculous. The small things that made this movie so great were the depth of the characters, the writing was well, the pacing was good, and of course they had some decent actors in it as well. That makes a tremendous difference with things that are, sci-fi or fantasy. Sometimes they think just because you have good special effects that then you don't have to put any decent actors on it, and we've seen how that's gone.
We saw Priest.
Yeah, we've been through a lot with the party line here, so.
Skyline.
But I will agree though that they did build an audience, a return audience with the films that they did.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
They did do that. Like if they had did a bunch of flops, I don't think you would.
No, I think the lead-ins. I think it's a leg of the stool, so to speak. But I think
I agree.
You could have had someone else besides Joss write and or direct this film. And it still would have made a ton of money, but it wouldn't have been as good. It wouldn't financially go in the long run the way this movie is going to go.
Right.
And it would fizzle a lot sooner because you wouldn't have the same word of mouth and everything else going on. So it was going to be good to a degree no matter what. But Joss, I think, is the one who – he's the X factor, no pun intended, that gave it, I mean, it has like the 93% or whatever it is Rotten Tomato rating, which is just unheard of usually for, unless it's a Pixar movie, it's like unheard of in the summer for something to get that kind of rating. And it's him who has like all the civilian viewers out there happy, but also all the nerds happy at the same time.
Mundanes.
The muggles.
Muggles are mundanes, not the.
So Josh is, he just has that. It just pushes it like just to a higher notch that a few movies are able to achieve.
But I still think everything that we're saying, direction, writing, it all comes down to two words, and those are Joss Whedon. He's my god now.
Well, I would say not just Joss Whedon, though. Joss Whedon and someone in the studio who
smart enough to hire him. Yes, exactly.
Who shielded, not just hire him, but shielded him from the nonsense that you can get caught up with.
No pun intended.
When you're working with them.
Shielded.
I meant that. Nolan is the same way.
No, I agree.
Nolan had that protection also to do Batman Begins. Well, it was because all the other, you know, the franchise was so bad, you know, that it just pretty much was like, let him sign. You let me do what I want to do without bothering me. And I'll, you know, and I'll do it. And that's what happened. So he was able to do what Vision he wanted to do. And he set it up and he did it before people would come in and rewrite and change this. And and that's what's been happening with these movies. And I wish that these, you know, studio heads would get that, especially with Warner Brothers. Like, you have to have a hire a team, let them do what they have to do, and stay out the way.
Yeah. I think that Warner with the DC characters, they have the icons, but they also have the ancillary characters are more ancillary, I think, than in the, you know, typically Green Lantern, great idea for a concept, except for one thing. No one knows what to do with that character. No one can handle it. Nobody in the books, it might be handled well now. I haven't read them in a couple of years. But to me, it was like, you know, he's in space, he's a girlfriend, he's another guy. It was always, you know, let's try and do something else with the character. And then they made it into a movie, which was an unmitigated piece of
festering hole. So what you're saying is, like, earlier we were talking about Cabin in the Woods, and I was saying it, so that was like an allegory for, like, you know, the horror genre. So what we're saying now is that Avengers is an allegory for the entire movie industry, because because we had the secret council out there of producers who just want to send in an A-bomb because it's pretty simple. It's established technology. We all know how it works. You know, it's pretty conventional.
Single-handedly, Joss Whedon had to hook it up into the black hole of space.
And they wanted to use the cosmic cube to make everything three-dimensional. I see what you're doing now.
But we needed a visionary with one eye who could think outside the box.
Yes.
You know, a certain, you know, Whedon fury. To, like, bring these elements together, bring in all these, like, talented people like ILM and everybody else together.
We just need
to give him a little bit more time. That's all we need. We need a start to just allow him to do his thing, you know, and just have a little faith, you know, and let it all work out.
I want to know what happened to the idiot because there was someone at Warner Brothers that said that there's no way you can put a bunch of superhero characters on screen and it'll work. And I want to see that guy after this movie has come out. And I wonder if he's still working at Warner Brothers.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I would say probably not.
Because I could see that, like, it's not hard to do if you stick to, like, Green Lantern. I say again, the problem was not the character itself. You can write
a good
character. It's not hard to do. A human guy who just wants to do the right thing. And he's, you know, he has fun with what he does. You didn't give me that in Green Lantern. You gave me Whiny Boy. You gave me a pilot that was scared.
Right.
Like,
right.
What pilot is scared? I don't get it. Like, well, he's the bravest guy in the room, but then he's scared of everything.
No, I think every pilot is afraid.
Let's not do Green Lantern. Y'all are
no, but I like what you're saying though. I like what you're saying though.
Because, I get it.
No, but it reminds me of some review that someone smarter than me did on Avengers. I can't remember who it was. Some critic said that one of the magic bits of Avengers was that all these characters, like, everything seemed true to them. Like, it seemed like, oh, that's exactly what Hulk would say. It's exactly what Thor would say in this situation. Mm-hmm. Yet, even though all their dialogue and lines seem so obvious, they still surprised us as viewers. Yep. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah.
You know, and that's kind of like the magic there. Because everything did seem like, oh, yeah, that's exactly what would happen. You know, in your mind, you're thinking that, yet we're all still surprised. Like, a quick example would be, like, after they crashed that whale, that robo whale into Grand Central Station, and Hulk and Thor just standing there, and there's that, like, no one saw that coming. No one saw that punch coming. But as soon as it happens, you go, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Because Hulk is fit. Like, this is his, you know, this is his instincts coming out. He would be petty.
Such a
he would
simple thing. And it's
yeah,
like
you punch me in the head with a hammer. You hit me in the head with a hammer, and that shit hurt. Like, I remember. That shit really hurt.
This stuff sounds so easy, yet it's not easy when people are trying to write stories and make movies.
Like I said, if I had just seen half of this much attention to detail, it would have been spectacular all along. We've really been suffering for the past couple of years when it comes to action films, really, because it was ridiculous. I mean, I agree, you know, we were talking about this movie is going to be a blockbuster anyway, simply because, you know, it did have the buildup. But Ed it's Machine. It's the word of mouth and the longevity. That's why I like the movie. Mm-hmm. It's not that it was a blockbuster, not it was expected that. There was some real, real depth, real intelligence. It was consistent. It was funny. Man, Wheaton and crew was clocking like one joke a minute in this movie. Seriously, I'm sitting, because you think about, you know, the comedy and I'm sensitive to that kind of stuff because you didn't want it to be heavy-handed. You didn't want it to be corny. You know, and but I'm sitting here and I'm laughing. I'm going, there's literally like one joke a minute in this action film with all these different topics, all these different scenes, all the different emotional levels of what was going on. And still they kept it light and they still kept it going like that. I mean, that's brilliant. That's brilliant.
And no nerd jokes, because you don't need nerd jokes. Like, you don't have to appeal to just those of us who read the comics and all that stuff. We do other stuff too, like we don't all live in the basement. Like we have
different tastes and different
we're married. Rights. We go, you know, like so you can do regular jokes and we'll get it. Like
although to be fair, that guy was playing Galaga in the corner, so you know.
Oh,
with the bat,
yeah, I like
$10 to have to like 10 minutes later. You had a thing where he said, "I bet you," you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Pay off that bet.
Yeah. On the bridge, on flying.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Awesome. And you didn't have to build on it. He just handed him the $10. Move. It was that's
so you're saying we don't need a Shia LaBeouf character?
Oh,
parents living in a camper. Like we don't need that bridge to help.
I don't need a scared skinny kid to scream out loud what's going on in the movie.
He wasn't even screaming what happened in the movie. He's just yelling random dudes' names.
Right.
You know, run!
I don't need any of that. Like,
you
I didn't
need
and
like
plus,
his family to like add humor to the movie.
Yeah.
Like shtick.
Or giant swinging machine balls. That somehow I made it through this movie without seeing that, and I enjoyed it. So hey.
Wait, 1 second. They were supposed to add the humor to the movie? Oh, that makes sense. Thank you.
Right. Shame.
Yeah. So it was some good stuff. I think, Carl, I am the most impressed that you got your story, because that's every podcast we do. It was light on the story. They didn't have a plot.
Raging inconsistency. No story. Bad acting. I mean, look, just want anything added. Like I said, you know, I'm always stickler for
a
consistency.
Flake of a plot.
Consistency in this movie, everything just fit together like puzzle pieces. It was just every little thing, you know. And I went back. I can nitpick about a couple things, but for the most part, you know, everything just seemed everything that was important. Even Loki dropping his staff, I was like, really? When I saw it the first time, I was like, he just left the staff there. But when you go back and watch why he dropped the staff, it's like, oh yeah, he was getting the crap beat out of him. That makes sense why he's just sitting there. So yeah, it was seamless. It was seamless.
Okay, so I don't want any nasty emails. We all love this film.
Yes, if you did not like Avengers, there's something wrong with you.
Don't tweet me. Don't Facebook me. I don't want to hear it because you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so unless anybody needs to get anything else about Avengers, we're gonna move on.
It was awesome.
Awesome.
Eric, get it out.
Thank you, Joss. Zach, you guys rock. You saved the modern superhero genre. Thank you.
I just want to say to all the Avengers, especially Captain America, thank you.
I'm just glad Colby Smulders was in it.
Who was that?
Oh, God.
Oh, that's Hill. That's Hill. He's joking on
Hill. Yeah, Maria Hill, I guess, is her character's name, but it doesn't really matter.
She was very nice.
Yeah, I liked her.
I would like to thank, for the Avengers, I'd like to thank the old gods and the new.
Yeah. And also to mention, the what's his name, the Nihilist, the other guy, is voiced by Wesley from Angel.
The who now?
Oh, a Nihilist was played by Wesley?
Really?
Was it Wesley?
Voiced by...
Paul Bettany had a voice in this, too.
And he was the star of your favorite film, Kat. So
if you're talking about A Knight's Tale, then you are correct, sir.
And Kat, did you notice Victor from Dollhouse?
Avengers? I did. He was like an officer on the street or something.
Yeah, NYPD.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
that's why he
I was looking for all those little weed and eggs and things like that.
Weed and eggs.
And I don't know if it really counts, but Kat, I only bring this up because I know you just watched Alien the other day. But part when Hulk woke up in that warehouse after he fell from the sky, right. And the grizzled security guard or whoever he was
from Big Love, yes,
yeah, but
an alien,
he was an original alien.
Yeah,
he was wearing the Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah, that was
an alien, yeah. And it. No, because he had a throwaway line about asking Hulk if he was an alien.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh god, I mean, with a smile on my face, but. Bit of massive chagrin in the theater because the
crowd loved that because the guy was so deadpan.
That you talk about something funny for real. I was loving that scene.
No, I'm not saying it was bad. I'm just saying whole meta connection. I was just like shaking my head at the moment.
It was so crazy because the point with him being in the movie, they used him to get it out there that. Even when you were the Hulk, you aimed for this building. For an empty lot. To let us know.
That's true. Again, yeah. Every joke and every nothing has a purpose in this movie.
Right.
When I saw that scene, because I didn't get the alien guy's connection. It just adds to the fun of it. But I was watching, I was like, why isn't that Stan Lee?
So I was trying to figure out why
that guy wasn't Stan Lee. But that's a better choice for
Stan
that
Stan Lee was in it?
Yeah, well, yeah, but you know, he just.
But he's up in age, and he might not have been able to pull that off.
Mm-mm. Son, you've got a condition.
Son, you got a condition.
That was great.
Oh, that was great. Yeah, that was great.
And that's our show. It's the end of our three-part mega episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Leave us feedback on scifipartyline.com. Send us a tweet at scifipartyline. Message us on facebook.com/scifipartyline. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Hello.
Oh, finally.
There you go.
There we are.
Like pulling teeth.
I didn't think I want to do this anymore.
Oh, stop it.
What's happening, peoples?
He does it on purpose so he can come in like, hey,
that, no, you see, I was locked.
Nope.
I was locked in the sci-fi party line green room. First of all, who knew there he had a green room? And then second of all, let's see, Triscuits and Select Cola. It's like smacking your guests across the face. That's all I'm saying. We really need to talk to craft services up in here. It's just, it's ridiculous.
I see what I have to deal with.
Give me my Triscuits, cat.
Triscuits!
I like Triscuits!
They're the wheat thins of the snack world. No.
I got some saltines.
No, wheat thins. saltines and mineral water. That's bad.
Don't get yellow box in front of me.
So we have the Avengers assembled. Eric, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. You got a little quiet there. Just making sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Carl, there's a Daryl here, Eric here, and Will here.
Greetings, gentlemen. Greetings.
Greetings to you, sir.
And so apparently, Kat, that would make you the Black Widow of our crew.
Okay.
Iron Man.
Iron Man. Oh dear. I don't know. I think. We're not going to argue who's who anyway. I was going to get like deep into that. Oh, I wonder what Eric would be. Okay. So you missed Cabin in the Woods. I suggest you see it.
Mm-hmm.
Carl.
I'm looking forward to it. I've just been so busy of late, but I do want to see it.
Save
I want to hear that because you know what? If you don't see it soon, I am going to assign lockout.
What? At the what? Oh, dang. I didn't know it was like that around here.
Lockout is hot.
I'm going to assign lockout. And
no.
Our turd show.
That is so wrong.
Yeah. Gotta do another.
It left theaters show. Already, so I didn't get a chance to see it. So
no one saw it. It was that bad. No. Catchphrase.
Sir, what? Sir, what?
Yeah, see, he didn't even realize the movie was out.
What it's, movie?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, you want to know what the movie Lockout is about?
Oh, Lockout. No, Lockout. I'm sorry. I'm thinking, what's she going to lock out? I have no idea what she can. Oh, no.
Oh, did you watch
the movie Lockout?
No, just the previews alone. The previews alone are all that I've seen.
Well, see, to me, it looks like a solid rental, but yeah, I don't know.
Do a rental because
it won't be as good as Battleship, but it's awesome.
No, because,
Priest.
We cannot go to see Battleship under any circumstance.
Yes, you can.
It has.
We cannot see this movie. This is what you do. This is what.
Decent.
Okay.
I know that. I understand that. But you cannot support this movie under any circumstances.
Yes, you can.
What is wrong with Battleship? Why?
Yeah, I don't know why we can't.
Yeah, why can't you?
And whose phone is
it? Oh, it has Taylor Kitsch. It has
stop.
Alexander Skarsgård.
Wait a minute, hold it. Stop.
And Rihanna.
Yeah, Rihanna's in it. It can't be better.
You guys are making fun of me, aren't you?
No, I don't understand. Like,
you want to see a movie based on a game.
So?
Clue was good.
Resident Evil.
Clue was good.
Yeah, why not? There's no law. Are you saying that
I'm saying that Clue was based on a game that had like writing in it.
Oh no, we're not doing
Battleship
real.
Is you know B4. Oh, Mo, you're talking my Battleship. I mean, it's not.
That's awesome, dude. Have you played that?
I think that's an open palette, then.
When I was six. Maybe twice.
I don't get all this hating on the Battleship. I thought the board game, if you can call it that, was very exciting. I very much enjoyed Battleship and played it with my friends as often as I could. Now, if they made an action film about Connect Four, that would be ridiculous. That would be ridiculous.
No, I already see that one. How do you feel about classic red on black? I see it. There's an allegory there.
Hey, man. Yeah. How do you feel about Candyland?
Candyland.
It'd be trippy. Be like, drink a little, smoke a little. Okay. You can watch that.
Yeah. Well, that's a little rough there.
Yeah.
light.
All right, well, I'll be checking out now. just put my bill together and get my bags, please.
I want to see.
What the hell are you guys talking about?
Hey, sorry, we got sidetracked.
We're doing this. We're doing Battleship People. That's it.
That's it.
You down?
And you know what? You know what, Carl?
What?
Lockout.
No!
Guy Pierce.
I have a feeling I'm going to see Lockout eventually. Oh, I know I'm going to watch it eventually, but I may like it. I think
Netflix. Yeah, I
Judge Dredd for the first time. I like that.
It's totally different.
It is.
I'm just saying. I thought for some reason I wouldn't like that.
No, but like Pandorum was something that I thought was going to be really stupid, and I avoided for a while, and I thought it was just going to be like a redundant sci-fi horror movie. But then when I watched it, I was like, that was good.
You know,
I mean,
like that too. I remember that one.
I agree.
It wasn't something I had to tell everyone to go watch and go run out and see, but I watched. I was like, there was nothing really wrong with that movie. I was, you know, engaged throughout. It was
solid.
Yeah, I was surprised. I was surprised as well. Yes, I think other than the fact that everyone was covered in KY and motor oil, other than that,
who hasn't been there?
It's just so normal. It's just, you know, right in the middle.
End of line.